Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Elizabeth Vynanek, and I am a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. The Racial Justice Team Summer Book Club will meet this Thursday at 1 p.m. in the library. The Fellowship and Hospitality Committee are sponsoring the annual Holy Trinity Golf Outing on Monday, July 29th at Tantara Golf Club. Cost is $60 for the day. See Guy Huber, Craig Johnson, or call the church office to make your reservation. Vacation Bible School runs from August 19th through the 23rd. Registration and volunteer forms can be found on the table by the doors or from the office. We are asking for donations of pajamas in all sizes, books for ages 8 through 18, and travel-sized toiletries for use in community service projects during VBS. Tickets to the Buffalo Bison Friday Night Bash on August 23rd at 7:05 p.m. against the Pawtucket Red Sox will be available through Clyde Terry. He will distribute tickets on August 19th during the coffee hour. If you wish to reserve your ticket before the date, please call Clyde. There are a limited number of tickets available. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you, and God bless.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you and against one another. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Free. Rejoice in this good news.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Together. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. I invite any young people of the congregation forward for a time with Pastor Lee.
Summertime. Good to see you. I'm a little older, too. Think about that, too. And I think you could review with me a couple of weeks ago. Oh, a few more coming out. Awesome. It's really good to see you. How now? Skinny cow. Good to see you all. So, this summer, what we're doing, it's kind of like the surprise box, but in the reverse. And it's your brains and hearts that are the box, and you're the one getting to surprise us. So what we're doing this series, this summer, is that you guys can ask Pastor Brenda and I, this time it's my turn, anything you'd like about God, the church, or the Bible. And I suppose you could try to sneak in other questions as well. It's just that those already, you'll stop me on whatever you ask. So and my job is to answer you as honestly and authentically as I can. And if I can't come up with the answer, don't have an answer for you today, Pastor Brenda will be sure to tell you the answer now.
Hey, I got all week to prepare, right? I got all week to look it up.
So, any questions that you would want to ask us about God, church, or the Bible?
Pastor.
Yes. Wow. So, part of the way knows I do not have a microphone on for folks watching on the live stream. It's just being picked up through our thing. But also, you couldn't hear. Did God make the world with God's hands or by magic? What a great question. Tim, you got an answer for that? The best I could think of is you know what? All we have on that. Really, in terms of what the Bible says, is, do you guys know this? It says, in the beginning, that God, the Spirit, was hovering over the chaos of creation. And then God, the Bible just says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. As in, like, the sun and the stars and all of that. So part of this is to say, we don't think it was by God's hands at all, that at that time God had no form. That's essentially why Jesus comes along. And we'd also want to say it wasn't just magic either, though maybe that's what it sounds closer to, right? But all we have is that God spoke a word. Now, did God have a mouth? Or did it just go boom? Like the way the scientists maybe try to describe and figure it out, and they change their mind every 25 years or so, exactly how we think that happened. But God just said, let it be. And then you know what's cool? Is that God made all the animals and said, let's make animals in the sea and in the air and on the earth. And God called them good. And then God made human beings, and God said, let us make them in our image, which means we all look a little like God. You look a little bit like God. And then call us good. But God just does it with a voice. Isn't that cool? Awesome. Thanks for asking. So this summer, if you know you're coming to church, feel free to be thinking about transmit a question to mom or dad, or otherwise, come and you can ask us a question about God, the church, and the Bible. Alright? And if you stop us, we'll take on the challenge. Alright? We kind of know that you guys are going to prep to do that. Alright? Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks that you spoke a word and created all the earth and all the heavens and all that it is in the cosmos. And then you spoke a word and you made us. And you made us in your own loving, generous image. Thank you, God, for speaking a word of life into us and for calling all of it good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Thanks for your question. Nice job. Oops.
The first reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning with the first verse. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 15. Please read the boldface type. "Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your hill? Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart. They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. In their sight, the wicked were rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown." The second reading for today is recorded in Colossians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 15. "Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were not estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, for stirring our hearts, gathering us from our homes and into your house again, that you have named us and claimed us as your beloved, filled us with gifts of the Holy Spirit, that together we might be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and be the church in the world. So feed us again in this word and Holy Supper, that we might have love in abundance and that it might flow from this place into a world in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know the story, and many of us, we may even know most of the words. Houston, the eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And if you know these famous words of the first human who stepped ground on the moon, this is a little bit of an aside, but do you know what the third person who stepped on the moon, of what they said? It was the next lunar landing. And so the third person, after these austere words of all of humanity before, do you know what the third person said when they got off the lunar lander? Yahoo! Just slightly different than the first one off. July 20th, 1969, watching the moon landing, my parents were at the hotel our family often was at, our favorite vacation spot in Daytona Beach, Florida. And while I would come along exactly 1 month later, I grew up learning the story of that July 20th day. Visiting the rockets at Kennedy Space Center in Florida, I could imagine myself in space, or touching the moon rocks, or seeing that gold foil wrapped around the lunar landing vehicle at the Smithsonian in Washington stirred my imagination. But there is far more to the story than the story sometimes that we think that we know. You may know that this Mary and Martha story as well. It too is a classic in its own right. We may know the scene. Jesus and his boys show up. Mary is fangirling in the living room, sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha is busy, the text says, distracted, serving supper. Apparently, she's been cleaning all day, cooking all day for this feast, and is now serving food. We may even know all the lines, too. Jesus, tell Mary to do her part. I'm always doing all the work. Martha, Martha, Martha. Mary has chosen the better part. The hearer is left with that it may be put on perhaps the female hearer an expectation that these are the two prototypes of how to be a woman of faith. Either you can serve food and be busy doing all of the work, or you can sit at the feet of Jesus and soak it all in. And so the story seems to end with an implied question, and I'll admit that I have probably preached this sermon, are you a Martha or are you a Mary? But with closer look, there is far more to the story, both in reality and as we remember it. Katherine Johnson is far more impressive in real life than even as she is portrayed in the movie Hidden Figures. Catherine Goble Johnson calculated trajectories for Alan Shepard's groundbreaking 1961 flight as the first human being in space. She verified the calculations for John Glenn's first American orbit around Earth. She computed the trajectory of Apollo 11's flight to the moon, and she even worked on the plan that saved the crew from Apollo 13, helping them to get back to Earth safely. On November 24, 2015, President Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She did far more than could be possibly portrayed in that film. Dorothy Vaughan became the NACA, the predecessor body to NASA, the first black supervisor in 1948, 5 years before Katherine Johnson even began working there, proving that she and the other women of the West Computers Unit had the right stuff to help make the space program possible. And Mary Jackson was hired at Langley in 1951, promoted to engineer in 1958 after completing her graduate courses by night at the end of her long work days at NASA. And of course, not only these women, but there were thousands who were part of the space program who were critical to its work. You can just ask Paul Biesinger for some more details, and he can school you far more than I can. It may be that while we're on the patch of Apollo 11, unlike the Apollo flights and the Mercury flights that had gone before, no one's name is on that patch because the designer said it wasn't just three people who did this. There were so many involved, hundreds, thousands, each one of them using their own gifts and skills to make this possible. And the good news is that we don't need to choose between celebrating Neil and Buzz and John. And then as opposed to women like Catherine and Dorothy and Mary and so many more, we can take in the whole story and celebrate all the gifts that were used. Just as focusing on the space story helps illuminate some details perhaps that we did not know or we did not learn in our education, and just as it allows us to celebrate the gifts of others, so true with our text in the gospel this morning. Kristen Swanson is a lay leader of St. Lydia's Church in New York, and she writes a reflection on this text of Mary and Martha with an invitation to take a closer look, peeling away at some of our traditional assumptions of the text. First, focusing on Martha. Theologian Elizabeth Fiorenza highlights a word from verse 40 in Luke's 10th chapter that the NRSV translates this morning in your bulletin as task. It says that Martha was at work doing many tasks. Only the Greek word here that's used is diakonia. It's the origin of the word that we use for deacon. Sister Donna is a deacon of the ELCA, and that comes from that word diakonia. When the word is used for Stephen, who would become a martyr in the book of Acts, and Stephen wanted to take food out to the widows outside of town, it says that Stephen was doing diakonia kind of work, not merely tasks, not that there's anything wrong necessarily with the work of a household, but the word diakonia means ministry. And when it's connected to Stephen, we say it was about Stephen ministry. It was about his work for the homebound. But somehow in this story, diakonia gets boiled down as tasks. What if we were to call that ministry? And it would show us that Martha was busy at her home doing ministry. Maybe this was a house church and Martha was the leader. It could be that Martha's feeling a little burnt out. That her work leading a house church, her work as a deacon, Sister Donna can tell you, it's hard work. Ministry takes on many tasks. It could be that she's running this house church and her ministry in Bethany is wearing her out. And so she is coming to Jesus, who's visiting this church, exhausted. Martha is a servant leader. Then Swanson helps us to focus more closely on Mary. And here again, the language, the original language in the Greek becomes very important because it says in verse 39, again in your Bible, it reads that Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. And we kind of get this image that Mary's there in the room sitting crisscross applesauce and just taking it all in while listening passively to Jesus. Three things about this verse. The first is that the English translation, and I checked several of our translations, leaves out a word between Mary and the word that is translated as who sat. And the missing word in between those that's not translated is the word chi. I'm so glad you're sitting in the second row. The word between Mary and who sat is the Greek word chi, which means also. As in the youth are here, and also chi is here. This would change the meaning in our text then to say that Martha, whose home it was, had a sister who also sat at Jesus' feet. So this now changes it from one is doing one thing and the other is doing the other, that Mary and Martha are both sitting at the feet of Jesus. And now this phrase comes into focus. What does it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus? Is it merely being a fan and taking in Jesus' glow? Again, Scripture helps us. For this verse, like the word that was used for Martha was translated differently somewhere else. In Acts chapter 22, Paul says, "I am a Jew born in Tarsus, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." And Paul is describing who was his professor, who was his mentor, who was his rabbi, and that he, Paul, sat at the feet of, was a student of Gamaliel. So again, when it's Paul, no one questions that Paul was a student of Gamaliel, that this was his teacher or his mentor. But when we use the same word to describe Mary's action, through the ages, we've kind of boiled it down to, you know, Martha was busy in the kitchen, but Mary was just sitting passively at Jesus' feet. The truth is, they are both disciples. And it could be that Martha has been managing, coordinating, pastoring a home church, and Mary's been spreading the gospel out in the field. They both have their own calls. They both studied under Jesus, and they're both doing ministry. The third detail is this. In this light, that Martha also studied under Jesus, it may be that Mary is not even in the house at the time. The text doesn't really say Mary and Martha were at home and had a dinner party and one of them did the work and the other didn't. What the text says is that Jesus came into the home of one deacon and the other deacon was also studying under Jesus. It could be that Martha is just coming to Jesus and saying, "I'm exhausted. Have you seen my sister? She's out doing her work too." So like learning the details of the whole story of the Apollo mission, learning the details of the whole story of God's mission gives us more reason to celebrate. I've got good news for you. You don't have to decide, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? You might say, you know what? I never fit either one of those things. I got my own stuff. For all of us here, we don't have to be Peter or Paul, Mary or Martha. We get to be who we are, who God has created us to be, because God needs all of our gifts. And the whole church needs all of our gifts. Our gifts for ministry are not a binary choice set by some traditional template. We don't need to choose how we can fulfill our caller or how we can serve the Lord, because it takes thousands. It takes thousands to send one human to the moon. It takes millions to be the whole body of Christ. You don't have to choose. You can use the gifts that God has given to you. When you're exhausted like Martha, take the day off. And when you've got feet to run with like Mary, go ahead and go. For we choose to follow the Lord in this generation and do all the other things. Not because they're easy, but because God has called us to do this work, and because we are powered, all of us empowered, by the force of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
gather together, let us proudly proclaim our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 9 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with God's people around the world, let us offer our prayers for those in need. For the church visible and invisible, for all servants of the gospel, and for the holy people of God, that we hear your word and share your supper. Strengthen the ministries of the Buffalo City Cluster, for Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Let us pray. Have mercy, O God, for favorable weather, for calm waters and seas, and for all creation, that it become for us a reflection of God's glory. For those affected by natural disasters, that they be provided relief. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who help make our community safe, for police officers and firefighters, military and international peacekeepers, local and national leaders, that God's peace and compassion come also to us. And we pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the sick, the hungry, the imprisoned, those living with HIV and AIDS, those awaiting the birth of children, and all people in need, that Christ, our great physician, care for all who are in distress. And we pray for all those we now name out loud and those we remember in our hearts. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who are distracted by overwork and those who seek more adequate employment, that we recognize God's goodness in vocations of all kinds, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially this day for Michael, Brandon, Erica, Ethan, and Evelyn, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
In thanksgiving for those who have died and are now at peace, and for their lives that bear witness to the hope promised in the resurrection, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. To the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, for the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, in the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with all our heart. Serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah and with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth from this assembly to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, and imprisoned. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring this sacrament, that through the body and blood of your Son, we all may know the comfort of your abiding presence.
Amen.
Live your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in him, and abound in thanksgiving, and the blessing of the Holy Trinity, one God, be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.